me of? Remember that guy Lumpy on Leave It to Beaver? That's exactly who John Ashcroft is. He's Lumpy. I mean, in mannerisms as well as in actual physiology. Just a lumpy bastard. Just a lumpy, fat face. I'm just saying, take a good look at him. You can totally see. You know who he is? John Ashcroft isn't even the guy who beat you up when you're a kid. He's the guy who holds your arms behind your back while Donald Rumsfeld beats you up. That's who he is. Ashcroft just holds you down and keeps an eye out for the parents. He's a lookout. All right. Hey, it's 3 minutes and 3 seconds after the hour 12, and this is the month of December in the year of our Lord, 2002. It's the Rick Emerson Show live in the studios of the Hot Talk 1080 KOTK, and welcome to Day 12.
Santa's helpers in the mall, new graffiti on the wall, we're victimized by urban sprawl. It's Christmas in L.A. See the mansions of the stars. Valet elves are parking cars. Reindeer strippers in the bars. Christmas in L.A. I dream of trees and ornaments and the crackling Yule log. The lights are twinkling cause they're shining through a killer smog. Those who can have hit the slopes after all this party gropes, leaving us with only hopes. It's Christmas in L.A.
All right, it's 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. By the way, for those who are keeping score of such things at home, that's the Bobs. All the fine tours behind the Take a Look at My Enormous Penis song. Everybody thinks the penis song is us somehow. They think it's like Christina or Kim or somebody.
Anybody who knows any better knows you're not that talented.
Ash, that's right, exactly. You're like the one time we tried to do the jingle, that Instapoll. It's all like flat and all bad sounding. I'm just saying, you know it to be true. All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Not for lack of effort, though. I'm just saying, we have limited facilities and limited time in which to utilize said facilities to, I'm just going to move on. You can email us today if you'd like. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. Coming up later on today, Betsy will join us, presuming that she's able to get here. And by the way, let me just note that last week, the first day, Betsy's always getting on us about not giving her enough time. I mean, you never give me enough time to come on and do my list. And so last week we said, well, you be here at 2:30, we'll put you on at 2:30. 2:45 is when she showed up last week. So the first
time. That's a little bit of an exaggeration. She was here at 2:38.
All right. So she was 10 minutes late. Regardless, you only got like 22 minutes to start with after commercials. So I've got, just so you know, so I've got, in case she is late, it's in the ready. It's on deck. I've got a top five about strippers that we will go to today if she's not here in time. There's your motivation. So you're not here in time. We're going to go to a top five that's been specially crafted. And it wasn't by me, a listener. This guy, Lou, actually put it together. And it's actually titled The Top Five to Read If Betsy Is Late Again. So we'll see you then. Coming up later on, Jolie from the front desk here with How Chicks Think. Also, CNN Radio's Jim Roop going to talk to us about... Didn't we just have this story a few years ago? And I thought this was about Pee Wee Herman and kiddie porn. I don't even like to say the words. What else? Clyde Lewis's top five musical artists of all time. Your phone calls. And Tom Likas later on this afternoon. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland. Here is Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
And it should be noted that I look over to Tim, and what is he doing? He is actually looking through, is it the car catalog?
This is the Mini Cooper S catalog. I have just taken delivery.
And so that's a catalog of accoutrements you can buy for your new car?
Well, no, this is everything this car came with.
And this book is like 3 inches thick, by the way.
Global positioning system with CD-ROM-based map directory to determine the position of the car so I can't really steal it. Even though I have to give it back in a way. And Rasmussen's the only dealership in Oregon who sells the Mini Cooper S. It gets, 24 miles per gallon in the city, which is, well, much better than Navigator. Although I love the Navigator, mind you. And 33 on the highway. Retails for $24,000.
Well, no, you know, you're not obligated to say nice things about the car. I was talking to, Brad, the guy who gave you the hookup on this, and you're allowed to slam the car if you want. So if you didn't like the Navigator, if somehow the $65,000 SUV was, you know, not to your liking, you can... But it only got, 8 miles to the gallon or something?
But, you know, we fit Todd's drum set in the back today when we wanted to deliver it because the Tim Riley factory is starting to rehearse, so we had to move the whole drum set from Todd's spacious apartment all the way to the studio today. So that came in handy. We fit it all in one trip.
So the entire thing fit inside. Can I see the kettle on?
Sure.
So I don't actually get to see the car, probably.
It's parked out
front. Is it out front? You actually have it now.
Yeah, I have it right now.
This car is just image-wise, is the perfect car for Tim.
It really is. You want to get one of the little English driving caps, you know what I mean, and the goggles?
Oh, yeah.
You're motoring around in the country on a Sunday.
Get the gloves with the holes cut out on the knuckles.
Totally, yeah. Yeah.
So it's the coolest thing.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
Anyway,
it's the coolest thing ever.
You can look through the catalog all you want.
I can look through the window and actually...
Yeah, just stay the hell out of his car.
Hey, that's a damn fine-looking automobile.
That is. It's really nice.
Have you shown Dave Paul yet? He's totally going to have envy. He's got all that Brit envy.
He hasn't seen it yet.
He'll be coveting this. He's probably coveting it now. Dave, if you're listening... Dave's the only person who's going to be more annoyed about this than I am.
But I'll be driving to see Lord of the Rings in style.
Excellent.
By the way, these pleasantries are brought to you by Everybody's Garden Center. First, in the news today, two are in custody after a botched robbery in the Couve. The pursuit came to a head after the suspect's vehicle reportedly crashed into a building near Southwest Mill Plain and Southeast 136th. And this is a developing story, so we'll find out more. Then, another big crime story. California Highway Patrol says it has arrested former It Is Enough star Adam Rich on a freeway in SoCal this morning. CHP officer Joe Escobar says Rich was pulled over and investigated after nearly slamming into a parked CHP car that was protecting a freeway construction team.
Their investigation continued, and it determined that the driver, Mr. Rich, was under the influence of either an alcoholic beverage or drugs.
They say they had to lurch forward to avoid being hit by 34-year-old Adam Rich.
And he's got a huge head. When's the last time anybody saw Adam Rich on television? He has got, you know what he looks like? Here's who Adam Rich looks like, and as soon as I say this, you're going to know that it's true with every fiber of your being. Adam Rich looks like Chaka from Land of the Lost. You know it's true. The next time you see that big... You know what he looks like? He looks like a big bobblehead doll. It's a little itty-bitty, little stumpy torso, big old head rolling around like a bowling ball. You're like some big Safeway sack of groceries or something. He looks just like Chaka. Used to hang out with Holly on Land of the Lost. And what are the odds of him... What do they say? Do they think he was drunk?
Possibly.
Do you even need to test Adam Rich? What do you... What possible need is there to even try to ascertain whether or not he's drunk? Of course he's drunk. He's Adam Rich.
Trent Lott has expressed his wish that Strom Thurmond be elected president back in the 40s before we have found the sound clip. This is actual, mind you, an exclusive. Here they are together for the signing of a bill 2 years ago. And listen to what Trent has to say.
Now, this is a famous signature right here. Should have been president in 1940.
There we go. There was an accidental slip of the tongue, was it?
CNN, by the way, it should be noted for those who are playing the picture pages of this, perhaps in your own domicile, CNN has gone from a lot of trouble, now it's a lot to lose.
Okay. Time for the battle watch.
Here's your battle watch for Wednesday on the Rick Emerson Show.
I want you to remember that no bastard ever won war by dying for his country. He won it by making the other poor dumb bastard die for his country.
Well, President Bush is praising Spain.
Why?
Because it's our only other ally besides Britain in the war against terrorism.
And because they take a lot of naps there.
Yeah.
Like 1:30 in the afternoon, everybody taking a big snooze. That's a country I can praise.
Well, their President Jose Maria Anzar was in the Oval Office. Bush thanked his counterpart for his leadership in Spanish and refused to take reporters' questions about Trent Lott.
Vamos a verles.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Just thank you. Meanwhile, President Bush is not expected to call for immediate attacks on Iraq. Sure, he isn't. But he is reportedly preparing to say Iraq is in material breach of the UN resolution on disarmament. British Prime Minister Tony Blair talks about what will happen if a violation occurs.
If the UN resolution is breached by Saddam, then people agree to take the action necessary to enforce the will of the UN.
What people where? That just means Blair and Bush. I mean, us. Yeah. Nobody's ever asked us whether we're doing it.
The Spanish president, he's going to send in the Spanish Armada. Oh, wait, yeah. We already defeated that, didn't
yeah.
we?
Yeah.
Anyway, Prime Minister Blair says there's only one way to handle this situation.
The United Nations route has got to be the way of dealing with this issue, not the way of avoiding dealing with it. Having said that, I believe that the UN will support action in circumstances where there's been a breach. That is my belief after talking in detail to the main countries involved in the UN.
I don't even know how the UN operates. I'm always really unclear about how the UN even functions. Because if the UN just says, there's nothing there, you can't attack them, don't do what we forbid you, and then we do it anyway. You know,
here's my question.
There
are two kinds of laws. Yeah. There are the laws we follow and the laws we expect the rest of the world to follow.
If we're
the bad guy, then we can't be.
My question is this. Is it like the UN tells us not to do it and we do it anyway? Is that sort of like how when you get parking tickets and just ignore them? Is that what that is?
Correct.
I've got like $7 million worth of parking tickets downtown in Portland. Can I tell you that? Am I going to pay those? Hell no.
Eventually, the parking tickets could bite you in the ass. But the UN, if somebody like makes the UN mad and they want to do something about it, they call us to go enforce their will.
So we owe them money for membership. Too.
Yeah, if we piss the UN off, what are they going to do? Call us and tell us to beat ourselves up?
Okay.
So we have to pay them to be cannon fodder, but we like it.
Okay. So all right. Okay. So this is nothing. So they get the bupkis is what they can do.
Right.
All right.
That's today's battle watch.
There's your battle watch for Wednesday on the Rick Emerson Show.
Americans play to win all the time. Americans love America. Now we have the best spirit and the best men in the world. That's why Americans have never lost and will never lose a war.
All righty. Did anybody go see the midnight show?
Clyde went to see the Two Towers last night, I think.
That's the cue.
He's pointing at Matt, indicating that Matt should do something.
Anybody go see the midnight show?
Return to the legend.
Flawless comic timing and delivery there.
To the journey.
Matt's still sleeping it off.
I didn't see the hand cue go. I didn't realize that was my hand.
Yes.
Well, okay.
What? In the... The way this was supposed to work was different, though. Anyway, the thought was there. So
yes, kid, you two with 5 minutes of training can become a radio talk show producer.
Ian McKellen talks about how these films making cinema history.
It's a phenomenon. It's cinema history in the making. And what quite the outcome will be, no one knows until the third film is released. But I suspect the film in some manifestation is going to be around for generations to come.
Oh, Jesus, they've already put out like three different versions of the DVD, and the first movie's the only one that's even out. I mean, I guess until today, but I mean, the Fellowship of the Ring, there's a four DVDs. What could there possibly be? And don't get me wrong, big fan of Lord of the Rings, big fan of DVD. Two great tastes great together. What could you possibly... I've got the Boogie Nights double DVD, and there's like 14 hours of stuff on there. What could you possibly find to put on four DVDs?
It's all kinds of behind-the-scenes stuff and director commentaries and actor interviews and special effects behind the scenes and on-location stuff about New Zealand and where they shot it and stuff on Tolkien and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, nobody's ever really going to watch all of that stuff. I'm not even the geekiest among us. Well, I would, but I'm unlike most people. I'm freakish and absurd.
What about Gandalf's role in these stories?
Oh,
Gandalf
spoiler!
Is, immortal.
Oh, see, Tim can spoil, but I can't.
7,000 years.
Why is Tim allowed to spoil?
He's in the preview.
Film begins.
I haven't seen the preview.
He's been sent by the powers above to help Middle-earth.
All right.
The difference is the book's been out for like 40 years. There's not much spoil going on.
Gandalf puts together, helps to put together the fellowship, which will guard the ring bearer as he takes the ring towards its hoped for destruction.
This is totally a different accent than he had on the last sound clip, I swear.
He's tired. They've been doing three moves in a row.
But is Ian McKellen not the perfect guy to play Gandalf? Man, is he just the greatest guy for that role or what? It's like Richard Harris with as Dumbledore in Harry Potter. I mean, just there's no one else who could. Which begs the question: who's going to be Dumbledore in Harry Potter now that Harris snuffed it?
Ian McKellen.
Well, they already said that they might have Christopher Lee do it when he's done playing Saruman. Anyway,
let's talk about Gandalf the White.
It's a great delight and surprise, I think, as you turn the pages to realize that Gandalf is back. But it's a changed Gandalf. He has been almost literally reborn. Brought back as not Gandalf the Grey now, but Gandalf the White. That's one up in the Order of Wizards. His costume has changed. His look has changed. It's quite clear from the book that he's got a renewed vigor.
Oh, yeah. All right. I've got this. Well, I just want me to read it quick. Okay. Rick, I have to back you up on the whole... caution, spoiler ahead.
Uh-oh. Lock your ears, kids.
Rick, I have to back you up on this whole... data dying spoiler. Why? Because any person who claims to be a Trek fan had better have seen the damn movie by now. If not opening night, then at least by the end of the weekend. In fact, if all the pissing and moaning Trekkers had gone and done their Starfleet duty, then maybe us geeks wouldn't have had our asses handed to us by J-Lo and that damn Puerto Rican version of Pretty Woman. To all those whining bitches out there, I have only one thing to say. Gandalf isn't dead. Thanks, Rick. You rule. Don't let the dicks bring you down. P.S. F. Matt with Captain Pike's withered, gnarled hand.
This F. Matt is sponsored by NorthwestPipes.com.
All right.
Wow. Wanted by the FBI. $25,000 reward. You know who's wanted? Trey Arrow.
Yeah!
Best known for his ledge-top protest and defecating into a bucket in front of an approving crowd. He's wanted in connection with two arson fires. The first one... three trucks at the Ross Island Sand and Gravel on April 15, 2001. $200,000 worth in damages to those burnt trucks. The Earth Liberation Front later claimed responsibility for this. And then the second attack happened less than 2 months later at an estimated logging company. That attack, two logging trucks and a front-end loader were damaged. No person claimed responsibility.
I hate that guy.
Have you seen Trey Arrow?
I hate
call
that guy.
Beth Ann Steele.
Yeah, seriously, or call me and we'll just go duct tape him down and... kick the snot out of him. I hate that guy. Is the Earth Liberation Front the same thing as the Animal Liberation Front?
No,
or are they splinter factions of the same group? Are they?
They're different organizations.
So it's sort of like the Judean People's Front and the People's Front of Judea or something? All right, whatever. I despise that guy. Why would you... an Estacada logging company?
Yeah.
Why? What is that even about? Because Lord knows that the trees aren't self-replenishing. That's just crazy talk. Lord knows that the earth can't grow new trees. That's just madness. There can be no new trees. Once they're gone, you can never, ever have another tree. And we're short on trees around here anyways. I'm sure you've noticed we're probably down to 30 or 40 million trees in within view of this studio. There just aren't enough trees left in the Pacific Northwest. Just one big desert is what it is here. God, I hate hippies. You know, that, and see, can I just, yesterday I was talking about hippies, how hippies are the reason that people hate liberals. But he is the reason people hate hippies. He is the... I'm just saying...
You were in such a good mood yesterday.
I'm in a fine mood today. I'm in a great mood today. You know why I'm in a good mood? Because the FBI is looking for Trey Air. When they get him, they're going to beat him with rubber hoses. And I'm going to be there to watch. We got to sell tickets to that.
He's even on a wanted poster.
Yeah. I'll show you what stoned is, bastard.
$25,000 reward.
I mean, crapping in a box. There you go. That's my contribution to humanity. I'm Trey Arrow. Watch me. I'm just saying, I'm not in a bad mood. All right. 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. We got more on the way. Kevin here has got some stuff about the Lord of the Rings DVD. We'll get that in a second. Jim Roop from CNN Radio coming up later on. Clyde's Top 5 Musical Acts of All Time. Betsy will be here. Jolie from the front desk. And all that. Don't go anywhere. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. It's Techmaster PEB. We'll be back. Ta-da.
Emerson. Talk 1080 KOTK.
I'm just saying. I'm not trying to be mean about it. I'm just saying Trey Arrow is a bad person, and bad people get what's coming to them sometimes.
If you find him, don't alert the authorities. Let's just go duct tape him down and stone him.
Well, I meant figuratively. What is that a metaphor for? It's a metaphorical beating, by which I mean that we would buy him tea and scones.
That's beautiful.
I'm just saying. Here's Sarah Dillon with that there traffic.
There.
The Rick Emerson Show welcomes your comments, questions, nude photos, and death threats at Rick Emerson, 2000 Southwest 1st Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97201. This is Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
I'm saying it right now. This is the best bump we've got. Of all of our bumps, this is the finest of all of our bummer music right here, this song.
You know you say that like two or three times a week and it's always different music.
No, but I really believe it on this one. This is the Crystal Method and Rage Against the Machine. This is, or Tom Morello anyway. This is really good, though. I think this is probably the finest bump. I can't think of what else it would be. I mean, I'm talking about the instrumental ones. We have some, you know, that go into the commercial breaks that are really good. But that, I think that's probably our finest instrumental bumper music there. All right, 503-250-1080. CNN Radio's Jim Rube coming our way in just a few, plus phone calls. Plus, was there some guy? Who's that guy that was yelling at you?
I don't know. Some guy just called. He was pretty rude. I'm like, well, do you want to talk to Rick about it? Because he's like, I'm never listening to your show again. You guys spoil all the good movies.
I never spoiled anything.
I know. Well, I told him.
Star Trek then.
I know. I said he talked about this 3 days ago, two or three days ago. Get over it.
Oh, please. Well, and not only that, but it's like the Gandalf thing, as Matt has pointed out. Books have been out for 50 years. I mean, the books came out decades ago. Get past it,
exactly.
Man.
And in the previews for the movies, there's a picture of him talking to them.
Has got a huge picture of Ian McKellen as Gandalf, which I don't like either, but you got to move on, friend. You got to acknowledge and go forward. And as far as the Star Trek thing goes, well, look, you know, sorry about that. All I'm saying is I think we can all, it's not like I spoiled the final Star Wars film or something. I think we can. And that's another point. I mean, everybody likes the Star Wars films. You already know that Anakin becomes Darth Vader. Just lose it. It's not like, and we can all agree, I think, that the Star Trek films are the least important of the sci-fi series. Falls behind Star Wars. Already it falls behind Lord of the Rings. You know what Star Trek is? Star Trek is sort of the, I don't know, they're sort of the
make a distinction here for me.
No, they're sort of the Velveeta cheese.
No. Of, is Lord of the Rings really isn't sci-fi? It's fantasy.
It's fantasy, but I'm correct, saying sci-fi. Yeah. For our purposes, I'm putting them in one genre.
Just check to make sure they're, yeah.
But I'm saying Star Trek is sort of the, oh, I don't even know what to call it. Star Trek is sort of the Bachman-Turner Overdrive.
It's really the Zeppo.
It is. Well, yeah, it's the Shemp. I mean, it's serviceable. No, you know what it is? Here's what it is. Star Trek is sort of like Bad Company. You know that band? Bad Company, you know, they're not the best thing ever. They're not horrible. They're sort of okay. They're adequate. They do a good job. They're there. You know, they'll entertain you in that there's nothing else around. If you don't have Zeppelin, you'll take some Bad Company. If you don't have Star Wars, you'll take a little Star Trek. So like I said, and plus, one more thing. It should be noted that it's not even an original plot twist, this guy dying in a new Star Trek film, because they've already done it several times. They've already killed off Spock, sacrificing himself. They already killed off Kirk, who was fighting the good fight. Hell, they even blew up the Enterprise. The Enterprise had to be blown up to save the crew. Sacrificing the important crew member and then bringing it back is like an old trick. This is the fourth time they've done it. Because I think Kirk died in the... Geek check. I think Kirk died in the Matrix, so they can bring him back anyway. That's the way I remember that. It's 503-250-1080, or not. We got some calls here. Let's... quickly, though, grab our good friend, Jim Rope.
You know, you have the best way of explaining things.
You mean the Bachman-Turner or the
Band
Company?
Yeah, the way you compare the movies to band.
Yeah, no, it's true.
It is true.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the many things that makes me great, Jim.
You know, you should be teaching. I don't know why you're...
yeah.
I guess you are on a daily basis.
Yeah, Pepperdine's going to call me any moment now. Yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen. I'm sure I'll be getting one of those honorary things from Tulane. I think
Notre Dame would be calling you real soon.
Yeah, whatever. All right, I came in this morning and Matt said, hey, Jim Roop's got a thing about Pee Wee Herman and kiddie porn. And it's like he's with this glee, this palpable glee in his eyes. So he's not, Paul Rubens isn't in charge of making kiddie porn, is he?
Well, no. He's being arraigned today.
That sounded like a lot of support.
Well, we're not really sure yet. I mean, he's being arraigned today because, I mean, they've been investigating this guy for over a year now. And there were complaints that he had engaged in certain acts. He's alleged to have engaged in certain acts with minors. And then when they raided his home, they found quite a bit of child pornography and some computer stuff, and so they want to arraign him today, and they had to do it now because they've been doing this for a year, and I guess the statute of limitation was about to wear out on whether they could charge him or not. So
I think we can all agree that being accosted or fondled by a stranger is probably bad enough, but can you imagine one dressed as Pee-wee Herman? I mean, that's the kind of, you'll never sleep again. Seriously, you know, I mean, if Pee-wee Herman molests you, you are never, ever going to shut your eyes again.
Well, that's true.
I'm not saying that he did that. It's only alleged, but I'm just saying, that's the kind of thing that will ruin all your REM cycles for the rest of your existence. That's just sad, man.
But he's not even required to be at the arraignment today, so he won't be. It'll just be a lawyer entering the plea, probably. So not guilty, of course. They're going to fight it. His lawyer already said they're going to fight it.
Yeah, it's not, I mean, between this and the last thing, if it had just been the giving it a wank in Florida, that'd be one thing. But now this, I mean, he's never going to get work again. Who will ever hire this guy?
See, the problem is now kids are in the mix. And when you throw kids in there, I mean, that's when it all goes to pot.
Seriously, it's like, what's his name? The baby dangler. You know, that's the thing. People will forgive a lot of things.
You mean Michael Jackson?
Yeah, that guy. As soon as you start endangering the children.
Yeah.
This country's so, everything is so bent out of shape for the children here that he's hosed. So it's just bad. Oh, hey, did you hear about this thing about Adam Rich slamming a CHP car?
Yeah, I was out there this morning when he got released.
Yeah. Hey, does he have the hugest head you've ever seen or what?
Yeah, big head and little body. Of course, it doesn't help that he's got that beard going on, too. And he's got a beard and a big hat and sunglasses like Elvis would wear.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but he's pretty upset. You know, these guys can kiss my ass. He was pretty upset.
I mean, he can kiss my ass. Is he aware that he's Adam Rich? I mean, is he aware that he's not actually, you know, Elvis? He's not actually, you know, it's not like he's Laurence Olivier. He's Adam Rich.
Yeah.
I just beat that guy in general principles. I'm just saying for me, this is why I'm not a cop. This is why I don't get any real
That's
job
anyway.
That's why
you anywhere. Should be one.
Spoken like a true Los Angelino.
Thank you.
Excellent. CNN Radio's Jim Roop. There you go. It's 503-250-1080. I'll get a couple of these here. We got Scott and Bill. Also, Kevin in Brush Prairie. What's up with you?
Hey, I got a Pee Wee Herman story.
Okay.
I was only about 6 years old when that happened.
In Florida?
No, when he got arrested and all.
Yeah,
and my parents told me he robbed a bank. And find out the truth for like 6 years.
Oh, in the wanking incident?
Right, that's
it. It's funny that your parents consider robbing a bank to be better. Let's not say he masturbated. Let's say he robbed a bank using a shotgun and killed a teller. Yeah, that says, I think, much about your parents as well. What's masturbating? Nothing. He shot somebody and wore their skin in the moonlight. That's Kevin. It's 1-800-727-5955. Scott in Southeast Portland. What's up?
Hey, Rick. You know, I watched Trey Arrow address the crowd at the Nader rally
I was there.
And the problem is that he ends all of his statements on the upswing.
Yeah, he talks.
Like he's answering a question.
And he talks in upspeak? Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, I know. And that's, and so I'm there and I'm watching Nader, and, you know, it's not maybe fashionable, but I was a big Nader supporter. I'd vote for him again. Good guy, smart guy. And Ralph Nader, that's the thing, is whatever you say about him, he is whip smart. Ralph Nader is razor smart. And then the spokesperson, the guy who's the MC of the night, goes, "We'd like to bring out Trey Arrow."
Yeah, he was a lawyer of some kind, I believe.
And it's just Trey Arrow just puts the whole thing, I mean, just puts a bad taint on the whole evening.
Well, and plus, I mean, that's not even his real name. His real name is like Anthony.
What is it? Scarpetti or something?
Yeah,
Is
it Scarpetti?
It's some mafia name. I don't know. I'm not saying he's in the mafia.
No.
I'm saying that colloquially.
There's no such thing as mafia.
Yeah, there's no Cosa Nostra.
You know, with the rants that you've been on in the first couple of days this week, Rob's list on Friday is going to take like 5 minutes.
Yeah, I know. Let's get one more here. Bill, you're on the Hot Talk to Nettie KTK.
Yeah, I got a little thing on Jolie's thing yesterday. It was probably that guy's fault, you know? I mean, he said he got halfway through the deed. I mean, after 40, 45 minutes, maybe he should have supplied some KY jelly.
I don't need to hear about that.
Hey, F-Mat with Trey Arrow's hiking boot.
This F-Mat is sponsored by NorthwestPipes.com.
That's just wrong. Here's Tim Riley in the KTK Newsroom.
Attention, Pat Buchanan. There is a disturbing trend occurring on many American college campuses. The disappearance of the white male. They're being outnumbered by women.
Yeah.
On some campuses by 2-1.
Yeah.
One reason is, well, guys aren't all that bright.
That the average 17-year-old boy has the writing skills of a 14-year-old girl.
Another reason, women get all the breaks.
More girls in sports, girls doing better in math and science, and I applaud that.
Note how she doesn't
but
say women doing better in sports.
Lost, and their needs were either neglected or denied, played down.
Yeah.
Speaking of women getting all the breaks, now that DNA tests have proven that movie producer Steve Bing is the father of Elizabeth Hurley's child, Bing says he wants to do the right thing, but Hurley wants nothing to do with him. Bing, who only recently acknowledged fatherhood of Hurley's 8-month-old son, Damien, has offered to pay $160,000 a year to support that child. He's so determined to do so, in fact, that he went to a London judge earlier requested that an order be issued to that effect. But Hurley, who named Bing as the father earlier in her pregnancy, has told him to keep the money. In a statement issued, the model-turned-actress, whatever she is now, said, "The money is not wanted or welcome. Damien and I manage very well by ourselves."
Yeah, that's because he wouldn't even, that's, you know why? That's because he wouldn't cop to it. It's because he did everything but call her the town strumpet. Because she said, "Well, he's the father." "No, I'm not." Or, you know, so he wouldn't even admit that he was the father. And so now that he's like, "Well, all right then." And so now that he's actually copping to it, Jesus, he's telling him to go pound it.
Time for a little Christmas special.
Again. Here's another edition of Rick Emerson's Joy of Christmas.
Workers at a Romanian clothing factory are to receive their Christmas bonuses in buttons and zippers instead of money.
Oh, that's just horrible.
The 1,000 employees of the Modiscon factory in Kiava have been told by managers there's not enough money to pay out the annual bonuses. Instead, each worker will get 2 bags filled with buttons, 5 zippers, and 2 meters of elastic bands. One worker says it's very nice, but you can't fill a Christmas dinner plate with buttons. We'll be forced to sell them just for the extra money for the holidays. I wonder who's going to buy them from me.
There's another edition of Rick Emerson's Joy of Christmas.
So that was that.
All right, we'll be back. It's 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. You know, that reminds me of the best ever Simpsons line, which is Carl saying to Homer, "I can't feed my family with a cod piece." Best Simpsons line ever. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland. We got Eric coming up, plus Clyde Lewis's top 5 artists of all time. Jolie from the front desk with How Chicks Think. Can I just say, I'm still getting comments. I got like a zillion emails yesterday about Jolie's segment, so we'll have more of that later. Coming up later on, Betsy and your friend of mine, Tom Likas. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk Infinity KFK. We will continue after this. Don't go anywhere.
From Portland, it's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Okay. Nah, buttons. All right, here's Sarah Dillon with the traffic.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK. The sleigh bells are ringing and the carolers are singing while the air raid sirens flare. It's Christmas at Ground Zero. The button has been pressed. The radio just let us know that this is not a test. Everywhere the atom bombs are dropping. It's the end of all humanity. No more time for last minute shopping. It's time to face your final destiny.
All right, it's 1-800. 727-579-5555. One of the all-time Weird Al songs. Yeah, one of the all-time greats. Here's Tim Riley in the KFTK Newsroom.
TV Tonight, this looks like the best offering ever. Biography, The Manson Women, An American Nightmare.
Love me some Manson girls. Can I tell you, I got this new book called Squeaky, and it's the definitive, it's by... his name escapes me. I'm Jess something or other. But it's the definitive biography of Lynette Squeaky Fromm, who is everybody's favorite Manson girl. I mean, I think we can all agree that Squeaky Fromm is the greatest of all Manson chicks.
She ought to be in Tiger Beat or something.
Now, you know, you can actually go to... it's not Santa Barbara. It's Santa Monica. You can go to her house in Santa Monica. You can go out front of her old house, and you can see where she wrote her name in the cement when she was about 7 years old. It's kind of creepy.
Also on tonight, A Year Without Santa Claus, voiced by Mickey Rooney. Barbara Walters presents the 10 most fascinating people in 2002, including Halle Berry and Tobey Maguire.
And, you know, Ozzy's going to be in there, too.
The Christmas Pat. Oh, Adam Rich is in this. Oh, no, I'm sorry, it says Alan Rich, but somebody else.
Okay.
The Christmas Pat is on tonight. Good movie, isn't it? Army of Darkness.
Yeah!
What else is on?
Nothing else. Army of Darkness is on. That's all that matters.
That's about it.
Army of Darkness is the only thing that matters. Once that's on, everything else is just fluff.
You know what else matters?
Huh?
It matters that the West Wing preempted tonight for a damn Blazer game.
Well, I knew that last week, though. I'm not surprised, because last week they did the Christmas episode, because you knew they weren't going to do it next week. And so when the Christmas episode aired last week, I knew that was going to happen. Eric in Beaverton, what's up with you?
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
Just 2 points on this Star Trek thing.
Yeah.
Number one, how can Data die if he's an android?
Well, I mean, you know, it quits working. That's like my microwave. You blow it up, it's not going to be cooking anything.
Yeah, but there's another thing. I haven't seen the movie yet, but I do know they also find the second Data. What says that that's the Data that dies?
Okay. I didn't
you
say that.
You should refrain from commenting. No.
I didn't say anything. That was Eric from Beaverton who gave that. Here's the thing. But can I just make this point, though, by the way, in my own defense? Let me just talk about this. And this is an email we got from John. Listen to this. Says, Rick, people have no right to whine about the Star Trek spoiler. Brent Spiner has been saying in every interview that his character was going to die. I'm only a casual Trek fan, and I heard about it over a year ago. But listen to this now. Now, you all pay attention. Here's the final word on the subject, he says. If you pay close attention to the TV spot for Star Trek Nemesis, it gives away the ending. During the action cuts, the narrator says, some will live. Cut to a shot of Captain Picard. And some will die. Cut to a shot of Data. How much more obvious can it get? There you go. That's the final word on that. That's from John. See, that's...
It's not your fault.
I'm expunged of all guilt. All right.
I have a story related to that. After almost 16 years at the helm of the Starship Enterprise, Captain Jean-Luc Picard is ready to boldly go elsewhere. I'm sure this is our final curtain, said he, as he flew into London for the European premiere of Star Trek Nemesis. Stewart, who has spent 27 years treading the boards as a classical Shakespearean actor before taking on one of the most famous roles in science fiction, wants the timing to rewrite. All of us are very sensitive about not wanting to overstay our welcome, says the 62-year-old actor.
Oh, yeah, sure. Tell that to Shatner. No, I don't want to overstay my price line. VH1, one-hit wonder. That Star Trek is all about overstaying your welcome. I mean, that entire series is predicated... The show was only on for 3 years, like 30 years ago, 35 years ago now. So, I mean, that entire show, God loves Star Trek, but that entire show is predicated upon the notion of overstaying your welcome.
In Gangs of New York, Daniel Day-Lewis's performance as Bill the Butcher is sure to win him an Oscar nomination. Bill is a rich white Anglo-Saxon native who believes the Irish immigrants have no business in New York. Daniel explains a bit about his character, Bill the Butcher.
He was almost a folkloric hero to the neighborhood. He was also a generous man, rather in the way that some of the flamboyant mobsters today are kind of, you know, he's a very nice man. He takes care of the families and you don't have to lock your car and stuff. He was a butcher by trade and he handed out meat liberally to those that needed it. But he'd also, you know, be trimming opponents and boiling their heads for soup and mostly in tremendous good humor about the whole thing. So anyhow, that's Bill Poole. And that's more or less where William Cussing emerged from.
When did it open?
I don't know.
The newsman Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen. Well, it's not this week. I guess maybe it's Christmas or something, or maybe it's Friday.
Yeah, maybe it's Friday.
Kim said that it's good, but disappointing.
It'll be lost in the shuffle. It doesn't matter.
Well, she said it's not Scorsese good, which is too bad. Apparently, the snipping hands of Harvey Weinstein have been at it. So,
Daniel, was there a serious tone on the set due to the subject matter?
It's always a serious business making films, even if you're making a comedy. I had lots of fun, and I think
I was drunk.
Undoubtedly, my working relationship with Martin, which has been affected in a very specific way by the two characters that I played under his direction, was this. The arrangement this time was invited a lot of humor. It was a lot rougher and more humorous kind of a time from that point of view. That was nice.
Yeah, that's a long droning soundbite no one cares about.
No.
He's that same guy. He was in the Name of the Father and Last of the Mohicans and the Boxer. So, all right. It's 503-250-1080. Scott, first-time caller, Portland.
Yes.
What's up with you?
Yeah. Would we be all right if I ask you another Star Trek question since you got on the subject?